Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family, a time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. It's all over now. One final session in court, and a life together is over. If the marriage had ended in death, you muse, there would have been a funeral. Your friends would have been with your mate or you for the final service. Next Sunday there would have been prayers for the survivors. The grief could have been open and even proud. One need not apologize for death, but this is a divorce. I've just quoted a few lines from the introduction to a book on divorce. With this lesson from the Gospel of Mark, we take up some verses in which the Lord Jesus makes some statements regarding divorce. This is our ongoing study in the Gospel of Mark, and we're glad that you've tuned our way. If you've not written lately, we urge you to do so this week. Ask for information on our course of study on the Gospel of Mark. And if you have Bible questions, send them along. If you would like someone to visit you, let us know. Now Lesson 8, titled Lofty Standards. This is page 1 of that lesson. From Galilee, our Lord traveled southeastward to Perea, the district on the east side of the Jordan. It was not long before the Pharisees found him. They were moving in for the kill, like a pack of wolves. In an effort to trap him, they asked him if divorce was lawful. He referred them back to the Pentateuch, or the first five books of Moses in the Bible. What did Moses command? They avoided his question by stating what Moses permitted. Notice carefully that Jesus was giving them what Moses commanded. They were more interested in what Moses permitted. Moses allowed a man to put away his wife, provided he gave her a written bill of divorce. But that was not God's ideal. It was permitted only because of the hardness of people's hearts. Notice Mark 10, verses 6 through 9. That's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we're looking at verse 6. The Lord Jesus speaking, "But from the beginning of creation God made them male and female. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." The divine plan is for man and woman to be joined in marriage as long as they live. This goes back to creation when God made the sexes. A man is expected to leave his parents and be so united in marriage that he and his wife are one flesh. Thus joined by God, they should not be separated by human decree. Apparently this was difficult for even the disciples to accept. At that time, women did not have a place of honor or security. They were often treated with little more than contempt. A man could put away his wife if he was displeased with her. It was almost to the point if she burnt the toast, he could divorce her. The wife had no recourse. In many cases, she might as well have been a piece of property. When the disciples questioned the Lord further, he said pointedly that remarriage after divorce was adultery, whether the man or the woman got the divorce. If this verse were taken by itself, it would be clear that divorce is forbidden under any and all circumstances. But in Matthew 19:9, he made an exception. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, the Lord Jesus speaking. "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery." Note the one exception is immorality. In other words, where one partner has been guilty of fornication, the other is permitted to get a divorce and is presumably free to remarry. It is also possible that 1 Corinthians 7:15 permits divorce when an unbelieving husband deserts a Christian wife. That's 1 Corinthians 7:15. Let's pause right here for some music. You may want to study those verses more carefully. Besides the passage in Mark chapter 10, we have suggested Matthew 19, verse 9, and 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15. You are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. These days, we're studying together the Gospel of Mark. We'd like to encourage you to study along with us. Have your Bible, a notebook, and your pencil there by the radio. Also, we encourage you to write to us for information on our study manual. This will help you in these studies and also provide you with a good commentary on the Gospel of Mark for your library. So be sure to write down our address, which will be given in the closing moments of the program. We have been considering the important subject of marriage and divorce. Since the subject is so important, we have spent extra time on it. We must confess that there are difficulties connected with the whole subject. People can get themselves into marital tangles so involved that it takes the wisdom of Solomon to extricate them. The best way to avoid these tangles is to avoid divorce. When divorced persons seek fellowship in a local church, the elders must review the case in the fear of God. Each case is different and must be considered individually. We must move on in Mark chapter 10, but before we do, may we say, please write to us this week if you still have a question about this subject of divorce. Now Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Mark 10, and we'll begin with verse 13. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. To me it is very interesting that right after the passage on divorce, we have Jesus blessing the children. I am reminded that often in cases of divorce, the children suffer most. We have seen Christ's concern for the sanctity of the marriage relationship and for the rights of women especially. The Christian faith gives a place of honor to women that is not found in other religions or cultures. Now we see the interest of the Lord Jesus in little children. Parents who brought their children to be blessed by the teacher shepherd were shooed away by the disciples. But Jesus saw them ere they fled, and sweetly looked and gently said, "Suffer the children to come unto me." Jesus explained that the kingdom of God belongs to little children and to those who have childlike faith and humility. Adults have to become like little children in order to enter the kingdom. George MacDonald used to say that he didn't believe in a man's Christianity if boys and girls were never to be found playing around his door. Certainly these verses should impress the servant of the Lord with the importance of reaching little ones with the Word of God. The minds of children are more pliable and most receptive. Moving along in the Gospel of Mark, we find the Lord Jesus speaking to a rich man who showed an interest in eternal life. But he allowed his riches to stand in the way. It says of this wealthy man that his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. Without a doubt, he made a wrong decision. The Lord Jesus goes on to warn of the perils of riches. And then he tells the disciples these words. I'm reading from Mark 10, verses 33 and 34. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again." That was Mark 10, verses 33 and 34. Did the disciples take seriously what he said to them? No, it hardly seems that they did. For James and John immediately came to him with the request that they be granted to sit in glory, one on his right and the other on his left. How very much we are like the disciples. We fail to receive the important things the Lord Jesus wants to say to us. We hope you'll go back over Mark chapter 10. Let the Lord speak deeply to your heart from these verses. Our time is gone. We want to thank you for listening, for studying along with us. For those of you who have the study course, it's time to do the exam and mail it to us. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.